Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. It's wonderful to be with you again this Lord's Day. Thank you for being gracious to me last week. I'm thanking Philip especially. You know, Philip found out that I was sick on Saturday morning, and he was already busy Saturday morning. And he said, and I said, well, shall I ring around and find another preacher from another church? We're quite fortunate to have a number of Reformed Baptist churches within driving distance. And he said, no, I'll preach. This was Saturday morning and he was already busy that day. So thank you very much, Philip, and thank you for your ministry. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer as we open God's word. Father, we must know and believe this book and its precious, precious news to our souls. If we are to have any hope beyond this life and any peace within it. Father, would you help me and help us to give ourselves fully in believing, in resting and in obeying what it is that you have for us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a couple of sections from Matthew 6 and then a section from Matthew 7. Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want to read also chapter 7 and verse 7 to 11. In the same sermon, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And when you think about the types of prayer that exist, there really aren't very many. There's really just four ways to pray. Everything sort of fits under four categories of prayer. You've got praising God. You've got repenting of sin. You've got thanking God, and you've got asking for stuff. That's really the four things. There's an acronym that might be useful to you. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. Acronym ACTS. Okay. Or to put it in more simple terms, wow, sorry, thank you, please. Right? That's the easier way to remember it. Wow, sorry, thank you, and please. We see that a number of these in the Lord's Prayer. We see wow at the start. We see sorry toward the end. We see please in the middle. In fact, the only thing that's missing actually from the Lord's Prayer of those four is thanksgiving. And I'm not quite sure why that's the case. The only reason I can really think of for why that might be the case is because the Lord Jesus is so aware of our needs that he doesn't include that in the Lord's Prayer. But of these four features of prayer, which would you say you are most familiar with? I know which one I'm most familiar with, right? Please, gimme, gimme, gimme. Supplication. There's nothing wrong with that. Probably most people are most familiar with that way of praying. We shouldn't feel bad about that. We are taught to pray this way. And we're not only to pray that way, which can be a problem, but we are taught to pray that way and to ask for things in prayer. In fact, if you look at the wider New Testament, you will see probably the majority of the prayers that happen there are supplication prayers, petitionary prayers. Jesus Christ teaches us to ask anything in his name, right? James says, "You do not have because you do not ask." You know, we're taught to pray this way in the passage that we've just read. In fact, there's a layer upon layer of encouragement, even commandment, for you to ask that you might receive, that you might seek, that you might find, that you might knock, that you might have the way opened for you. Because if you ask, you'll receive, and if you seek, you'll find, and if you knock, it'll be open. Right? There's a strong effort being made by Christ in that passage to get you to ask. Ask, ask, ask. And ask all the more. How long should it take us in the presence of our Father to make known our needs? How long does it take a child in the presence of their father to make known their needs? No time at all. As soon as there is a need, the father is made aware of that need. Even potential needs that haven't quite come up yet, but may well come up in the next few moments, the child is making the father aware, the mother aware, and so it should be. So today we come to that portion of the Lord's Prayer that is to do with supplication, that is to do with please prayers, give me prayers. And so we're going to consider this together today. God wants us to pray these prayers. He wants us to pray them daily. He wants us to pray them regularly. Isn't that wonderful? Give us this day our daily bread. This is the prayer that is to be on our lips on a daily basis. But I want you to notice something as we come back to the Lord's Prayer. I want you to notice where this particular portion of the Lord's Prayer is located in the prayer. This is very important. It is basically smack bang in the middle of the prayer. If you count the verses, if you count the lines, it's basically the halfway mark of the prayer. Now that should tell us something very important about where supplication or asking prayers fit within our prayer life. It should tell us some important things about what really needs to surround our supplication prayers, what needs to pad them out, what other things are important to go before it and after it and around it, which may well be important to keep it on track, your supplication prayers. Because it is very possible for our supplication prayers, our asking prayers, to go wrong. James tells us that they can go wrong. You ask, you do not have because you do not ask, and when you ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And of course, there would be other ways in which our asking for things could go wrong. We could become presumptuous, we could become demanding, we could become irreverent, we could lack in humility, we could lack in confidence, we could lack in faith, we could lack in dependence. And so I want to deal with some of these things, and I want to deal with really what the Lord's Prayer gives us before we come to this prayer of supplication, to prepare us for praying that prayer well. The Lord's Prayer would teach us, before we come to asking for anything at all, to first get confident, knowing that we have a Father who is in heaven. Secondly, to get humble, knowing that it is his kingdom and his will that must be done, and we hallowed his name. And thirdly, to get dependent, recognizing that we come to him for our daily needs and for our daily bread. These are the things that we need to have in mind when we come to God for supplication, to bring our request before him, if we don't want it to go wrong, if we want it to be God-honoring, and if we want it to be effective. We need to get confident, we need to get humble, and we need to get dependent on God. So let's consider these things together as we go through these points. Firstly, if we're going to do supplication well, we first need to get confidence. We need to get confident in our prayers. The Lord's Prayer helps us to get confident by first leading us to pray this wonderful phrase, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. Now, as you know, a number of weeks ago, we looked at those two phrases separately. We did a sermon on each, and I'm not planning to rehash everything that was said there, but I do want to add something very important to it. But just remember and just think what this ought to do to your confidence to start your prayer, "Our Father in heaven." What should that do to your confidence? To know that he is responsible for you and loves you. To know that he is sovereign and powerful and in heaven and yet is your Father. How incredible that is to know and to be reminded of as you open your mouth in prayer. Don't just say "Our Father" as a way of telling everybody around you you're about to pray. Say "Our Father" or "Father" knowing what it means. Knowing that you have a Father. Knowing he has and feels the responsibilities of a Father toward you and all of the affections of a Father toward you. If you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? This is what we dealt with a number of weeks ago. To that, I just want to add an amazing promise that I don't know if you've thought about. It's a promise that we're given in Psalm 84 and verse 11. And it says this: "The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly." The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Let me read the whole verse so that you've got the context. Psalm 84. And I'm going to go from verse 10. You'll know these words: "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. What does that mean? Does that mean the better you perform, the more stuff you get? That's not the point. The Lord withholds no good thing from the believer. That's what it means. The Lord withholds no good thing from the Christian who is submitted to God, who is walking before God, who is repenting of sin, not perfectly, but the one who is in relationship with God. The Lord withholds no good thing. Every good thing is given. It is not withheld. I find that unbelievable. You know, I heard Tim Keller. He's got a wonderful series on the Lord's Prayer. He said something that I found shocking. Something that I thought, that doesn't sound right to me. He said this. He said, "God has never once not given you anything good that you asked for. Not once has he ever withheld anything good from you that you asked for." I thought, that doesn't sound right. Surely there's some good things that I've asked for that I haven't gotten. Then I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me that as you look at what Scripture says about prayer, and as you look at the promises that are made about prayer and about God's character in answering prayer and his readiness to answer prayer, that is the impression that we are given. If you ask, you will receive. Right? If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek, you will find. And how much more should we expect to receive from our perfect Heavenly Father, who is holy and loving? if we have learned to receive from our earthly fathers who are evil in comparison. It is in the same sermon that Jesus says, I want you to pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. In the exact same sermon, a few lines later, he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. And there's something that you'll know if you're a father. In fact, you'll know if you're not a father. It's fairly common knowledge. That the joy and the happiness that a father experiences is so dependent on the joy and the happiness of their children. This is to be the same with mothers. Now, where does that come from? Is that evil? Is it an evil thing that fathers and mothers feel this way about their children? That their happiness, their joy, their fulfillment is somehow locked together with the joy of their children? That if their children are suffering, they're suffering. If their children are thriving, they're happy. Now, of course, that can go wrong. You can make an idol of your children. You can start to give things to your children just to appease them in the moment, but which aren't really good for them. You don't want to be doing that. But the general idea of the happiness of a father and mother being bound up with the happiness of a child is a good thing. It is the way God has designed it. And it is the way we are because we are made in the image of a father whose own joy and happiness is wrapped up with the flourishing and the joy and the happiness of his own children. If you don't believe me, I understand. And so what I want to do is I want to bombard you with a bunch of Bible verses that say exactly what I've just said. Here we go. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Jeremiah 32 and verse 41. I will rejoice in doing them good. I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. Psalm 145 and verse 16. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. James 1, 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You tracking with me? Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Philippians 4 and 19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 65, 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Is God reluctant to give to you? Is that the impression you've got from these verses? That I really have to beg and I really have to try because God doesn't really want to give. He's regularly withholding good, but sometimes he gives it. God has never once withheld a good thing from you when you ask for it. So get confident. Now, the immediate question that comes to mind, but I haven't gotten everything I asked for. He's never withheld anything good, but I've missed out on some things that I've asked for. So how does this work? Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise to know that you haven't always asked for good things. Amen? You haven't always asked for good things. You maybe thought they were good, that's why you asked, but you haven't always asked for good things. And so we must get confident, but we must also get humble. We must also say, your kingdom, your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name, O Father in heaven. We're taught by the Lord to speak this way Because we do not have God's perspective, we do not have God's wisdom, we do not know always what is truly good for us. We know this, again, as fathers. Fathers want to give good gifts to their children, but children are regularly trying to get bad gifts out of their father. You know that? Can you imagine what would happen if God said yes to every one of your requests? You'd destroy the world. That's what would happen. You know what would happen if God suddenly did that to everybody who asked for anything? Suddenly everybody would become rich and everyone would retire. That's what would happen. We'd all become lazy. No one would grow any food. We'd all starve to death. We'd all get that promotion we've been praying for and no one would be around to do any work. Suddenly all of the most beautiful women would fall in love with all the ugliest men. And they would find themselves falling in love with hundreds of them. It would be chaos. We would destroy the world. You might say, well, that might be true for most people, but I'm very wise. I'm able to make wise decisions. I know what I'm doing. Imagine that you found Aladdin's lamp, for example, and you rubbed it and the genie came out and you had three wishes. Imagine if that happened. Imagine what God would be thinking when he saw you do that. Do you know what he'd be thinking? What would you do if you saw your three-year-old find Aladdin's lamp and rub it? What would you do? You would run over to them, cover their mouth, grab Aladdin's lamp and take it off them because they're about to destroy the world. They're about to turn all of the rain clouds into candy floss. They're about to destroy the world. That's how God feels about you. We are only slightly smarter than a three-year-old compared to God and us. It would be irresponsible for God to give you everything you ask for. But then think again about this. When parents say no to their children, when a dumb request comes, a bad request comes, parents usually don't just say no and leave it. There'll be a moment of reflection where parents can think about not just the request that's being made, but the problem that has caused that request to be made. So I want you to think, imagine your son comes to you and says, Dad, I want to light a fire in the backyard. Okay. This is the request. Now the father is evaluating the request and the problem that exists behind the request. Okay. The problem is, I'm bored. I'm looking for something to do. I'm looking for some excitement. And so it's not just a no, you can't light a fire in the backyard. It's a, what else can we do that might entertain you, that might solve this problem? Or maybe boredom's not the problem. Maybe actually the child just really wants to learn how to light a fire. And so the father evaluates this and says, well, why don't we make a plan? Why don't we go somewhere safe where we can learn these things? Where we can light a fire together and I'll teach you how to do it and we'll enjoy the time together. So that child heard the no, but the father wisely gave far more than was even being asked for. Gave time, gave energy, gave an experience, gave fun, gave joy. And if human parents do that, how much more does your heavenly father do that when we bring our foolish requests to him? How often do you bring a request to God and he sees that it is the fire in the backyard and he says, I know what you really need and it's this. And it's something far better than you even asked for or imagined. Richard Sibbs, he said something, he's a Puritan writer, preacher. He said, God always gives the value of what you've asked, but not necessarily in the kind that you asked it. He always gives the value of what you ask, but not necessarily the value in the kind that you asked it. So you ask gold, you ask God for $1,000 worth of silver, he'll give you $1,000 plus worth of gold. It'll always be of equal or greater value, but not necessarily of the same kind. Because the fire in the backyard is not good for you. Maybe the silver is not good. But God is not stingy in his saying no. He is protective and he is wise. And as we hallowed God's name and say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We have a right preparation for the requests and the supplication that we make to our God. So, we're taught by the Lord's Prayer to get confident. We're taught by the Lord's Prayer to get humble. And then we come to the portion on supplication where we are taught by the Lord's Prayer to get dependent, on God. I want you to think about what's actually being asked for in the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. What's actually being asked? It's not a request for tomorrow's bread. You notice that? It's not a request for all the bread I need for the next month. It's today's bread. Daily bread. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to pray for tomorrow or to pray for the month ahead, but we need to understand the point that Jesus is trying to make by saying, give us this day our daily bread. Pray that. Jesus wants us to be praying daily, and he wants us to be praying dependently on God. See, there are two types of people who are dependent daily on the provision that comes to them. Two types of people. The first are the poorest of the poor, the most needy. They are living day by day. What they receive that day is what they have that day. They don't have anything left over for tomorrow. People who have such little money or financial resource that they depend on being given their wages each day just so they can feed their family that night. People live this way all over the world. In fact, there's even laws in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, that says don't withhold the wages of a worker overnight because they need it to feed themselves that night and the next morning. Pay every day, at the end of each day. So the very, very poor, the very, very needy, they live day by day, they live dependent. There's a second type of person that also lives day by day, dependent, and that's children. Children depend daily on the provision, on the care, on the grace, on what they need. So when you come before God in prayer, you're both of those things. You are the most needy, and you are a child. When you come before God in prayer, you know that what you will get today is what you need for today. It is needed. And when you come before God in prayer, you know that what is needed for today will be given today. Because you are not just needy, but you're also a child of God. And we do need God every single day. I don't think we realize how much we need God. We need God to keep our heart going, to keep our brain firing. We need God to keep our situation manageable. We need God to protect us from falling into chaos. You know, I often thought about guardian angels, if there is such a thing. I think there is. A guardian angel. I'm really hopeful that they don't get tired. Have you ever had that thought? Because there have been days, right, where my guardian angel has been run off his feet. We need God every day. We need provision. We need protection. We need sustaining grace every single day. We are poor. We are needy. We live day to day on the grace of God. But as God's children, we come to a God who delights in taking responsibility for us, in caring for our needs, in preserving us, and giving us joy, and who takes joy in giving us joy. That is our God. That is our Father. God doesn't need a law that says, don't withhold the wages overnight. God's mercies are new every morning. When we wake up, the provision is laying before us. This is how quick God is to provide and to give to his children. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament, the manna from heaven story. There's an amazing aspect of that story which I was reflecting on during this week in Exodus 16. Moses tells the people, Moses tells the people that they are to gather what they need for the day, just what they need for the day, okay? And that nothing's going to be left over for the next day, right? In fact, what happens is if they gather too much, somehow, miraculously, the amount that they've gathered shrinks down to just what they need. And if they don't gather enough for that day, somehow, miraculously, the amount they gathered increases to exactly what they need. Every day. And every day they would get this portion, their daily bread, and none of it would last until the next day. There is an important lesson in this. I mean, I ask myself, why? Why not just let them go and gather a month's worth, or a week's worth, or 2 days' worth? On the Sabbath, of course, they gathered 2 days. But every other day, it was one day. The day before the Sabbath. What's the point of that? I think this is the point. God is teaching them, that the safest and most secure place you can be in is daily dependent on God. We think we need to hoard the resources. We think we need to fill the bank account. We think we need to gather the month's worth, the week's worth. And that in so doing, we will become wealthy and secure. Do you know the most secure people in the entire world are not the wealthy? Do you know who the most secure people are? Children. Why? Because daily they come to one who is mightier than them, who they have faith in to provide, and they trust that they will. We are taught by stories like that and by the prayer, Your Daily Bread, that the safest place to be is not independent, but dependent on God daily for your daily bread. One of the wonderful things that God can do is work in such a way to make you daily dependent and daily in need of His grace and of His mercy. And this, of course, is true of your physical needs, your daily bread. This, of course, is true even more so of your spiritual needs, of your spiritual bread, of your spiritual portion in Christ every day. This is what God wants to give you. This is what you must pray for and must receive on a daily basis. Church, we are taught some incredible things in the Lord's Prayer. We are taught to get confident in a God who is our Father in heaven. We are taught to get humble beneath a God whose name is holy and whose kingdom and whose will is to come. And we are taught to get dependent on a God who provides for our daily needs in order to make us feel truly secure as children before a loving Father. Would this make you pray more? Would this make you ask for more things from God? Send your voice to heaven and ask God for things. And bring down the bounty of heaven with the love of a Father with them. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we hallowed your name. We submit to your will, and we ask you to provide all the good things that we need in order to serve you, in order to live in this world. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, our needs for fellowship, our needs for comfort, our needs for healing. Father, give us this day our daily bread. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.